Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 3.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
This letter is concluded.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. It is Monday, the 12th of August, 2019. We thank God for you. We thank God for all those who've called in at 646-668-2636 and listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And we're here live again. Amen. And tonight we're going to continue our series. This is going to be part three of What Does It Take to Be a Man of God? And we just want to give a word of encouragement to the brothers out there, for the husbands, fathers, and sons, those who are living for Christ and confess Christ, and even for those who may not have made a decision and accepted Jesus Christ and believed Jesus Christ for their Lord, for their Savior, and to be their Lord. And I think that's the most important. We have to remember that part. We don't leave out the Lordship of Christ in any gospel presentation or anything that we tell people about God. We all know that God is love. We all know God is compassion. We know who Jesus was. But yet, we have to compel people to understand that you becoming to faith and being declared and calling yourself a Christian, a disciple of Christ, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be, again, continuing, as I said, this is going to be part three. And I think we might have one more part this week so we switch up. But I just wanted to encourage you, encourage the brothers out there. Again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we always encourage men's ministry, men's fellowship, a time when men come together and talk about the things that affect their lives, how the scripture can be applied to their life, how they can be better husbands, better fathers, better leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community through the Word of God. And using the Word of God as our foundation and blueprint for our lives. Because I say this all the time, and for those who are listening, the Word of God has the answer for every issue of your life, every issue. We all have issues, but God provided His Word. He provided the church. He provided the brothers that are around you to help you overcome those issues, realize those issues, and live a life that is pleasing to God, and live a life that advances the kingdom. Because our greatest goal and greatest accomplishment, no matter PhDs, titles, accolades of man, accolades of the community, we want to stand before Jesus Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And for us as husbands and fathers and sons, how do we treat our wives? Were we faithful in the raising of our children? These are the things that God mostly would judge us on. Or consider, is that something you would want to stand before God and have Him ask you about? How'd you treat your wife? How'd you raise your children? Did you disciple mentor your wife? Did you love your wife like he loved the church? These are the things we have to consider in all that we try and do and accomplish in business and education and on our jobs and all the things we try to get, you know, try and reach in this temporal realm. But remember, in eternity, now this is for the believer now, because if you're a believer, these are the standards, this is what God calls us to be, what kind of men he's called us to be. So I just want to encourage you there again and let you know that I also have issues, and anything that I talk about here on the show, on the broadcast, is, you know, I've been there, done that, and pray that it don't come back around to me again. Amen? Amen. So also, if you call in at 646-668-2636, thank you for joining us. We see you on the switchboard and the keyboard. If you'd like to have a question, a comment, or want to share an insight or wisdom, just press one on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. So today we're going to be talking about the real man, the real man. And we're going to give a definition of manhood and what it means to be a real man. Because, again, in this culture, it's diluted, and it depends on how you was raised, what your father, your uncles told you, your grandfather told you, what you might have learned, what you might have picked up in the street from your peers, your boys, your homies. But we want to put a definition to it, what it means to be a godly man. And I won't say that this is the only definition I give you, like anything else. You know, it's all blueprints. It's all a measuring stick. And see where we fall at in that thing and how close we are and what scriptures defines it. So I just want to give you an insight here on something I recently was reading. And we're going to determine what a man is. And a real man is. He is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitudes and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. So he understands, as a man, that he has to understand, accept the responsibility, development, and demonstrate in all these areas of his life. And again, the Word of God is our blueprint to how we figure that all out. And that's why it's important that we as men of God seek the Word, study the Word, and apply the Word, and then have someone, and then hold each other accountable to the Word. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we say thank you today, Lord God. Father, we thank you, God, for another day and another opportunity, Lord God. Father, that you, that you are here, just be another day on this earth to hear and be used by you, God, to reach the lost, to encourage the sick, oh God. Just to pray, Lord God, pray for the unbeliever, to be salt and light in the culture and in the community, in our homes and our workplaces and our jobs, and the Walmart and the supermarket and the food line and the ShopRite and wherever, the Target. We, God, just say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you saw it worthy, God, that you knew before the foundation of the world who we were and who you wanted us to be. Father, continue to guide and direct our steps to our purpose, that we might fulfill, God, what you created us for. It be a light in this dark culture, Lord God. Father, we pray today for leadership, God. We pray for presidents and congressmen and senators and the dog catcher, the sheriff, the county commissioner, the county police, the city police, city commissioners, the mayors, wherever, God, those who are given authority over us, oh God. We pray for them today, God. They would give wisdom, oh God. That they would get wisdom and grace on how to lead this country, these states, these cities, and these counties, God. Father, we ask, oh God, a hedge of protection around our families, God. I pray for every man that's listening that called in tonight. I pray for their wives and their children, God. Lift them up. Set a hedge of protection around them, oh God. Keep them safe, oh God. Father, again, God, we just want to say thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, oh God. We pray for the sick and the shut-in, those in the hospital beds, those who may be on ICU, on life support, God. And we pray for their families, God, that they might endure, God. Because even in this, oh God, you can get the glory, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, that you just show your hand mighty, show yourself mighty, and show yourself glorious. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. So, today, we're going to be touching on a couple of things that I want to share this evening with you. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And we just want to share and encourage you in the things of God, in your Christian walk. Because as men of God, even the men in general, even the unbelieving men, even the man that believes in other things, we have more in common than we are different. As husbands and fathers, as sons, as men in the community, men in the church, we have more in common than we are different. You'd be surprised, the brother that you sit with in the pew, in the church, in the front or in the back, he's going through the same thing you're going through, or he's been through what you're going through, or he's going to go through what you've been through. And that's what we have to be as a body of Christ. Are we in real fellowship? Are we connecting with men? Are we connecting with each other? Are we encouraging each other? You know, again, if we go back when we was in the world, or if we take ourselves into outside the church, we have those bonds and those connections with men. But in the church, it seems like we can't connect over the spiritual thing. And that's one of my greatest prayers, and why my passion is for men's ministry, that men will start to connect on a spiritual level. Because I know right around the corner, pagan worship is about to start, because they only got the preseason games. But it's coming, and will be. And I know how it goes. I've been around a while, and every year, everybody picks their team, they pick their side, they pick their church, they pick their organization, they pick their club, and then we go back and forth over that thing. But do we have the same passion and concern for the spiritual things, for the things of God, for the things of Jesus Christ, and what he's called us to do, and what he called us to be? That's just where I'm at with it. Amen? All right, so tonight we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about a real man. A real man acknowledges his need for salvation, first of all. Salvation is the most important thing. To be a man of God is to know who Jesus Christ is, to know that you are a sinner in need of, and acknowledge that Jesus is the only way to reconcile ourselves back unto God. So we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. We believe him for eternal life. We believe that he lived the life that paid the price for our sin. And then when I talk about sin, we talk about our sin nature. Not necessarily the things we do, because the things we do is a result of who we are. It's the root cause and the root problem. If we deal with the root, the fruit will change. So if our root is connected to Christ, if our foundation is in Christ, the fruit of our lifestyle, our choices, our attitudes, our thinking will change, because we are now his. He is now our Lord. And that's what we talk about. So we cannot be a real man without him. We cannot be a man unless our relationship with Jesus Christ is the first step in our journey of becoming a true man. God involves trusting Christ to bridge the gap from our sins that have been created between him, that separate us from God, the separation between us and the holy God. So it's through Jesus Christ, understanding who he is and committing to be obedient to him and confessing our sins. And all of our sins, in thought, word, and deed. And that's where we have to get to what salvation truly is. Amen? So as I continue to just encourage anyone out there, if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ, I ask you to press one on your keypad and ask any questions to understand who Christ was. If you have any questions about him, if you have any understanding about the word of God, what it means to be saved, what must you do to be saved? And for those who have called in on the switchboard, on the switchboard, I see you. You press one on your keyboard, we can bring you into the conversation. For those of you on www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, I encourage you to reach out to us on Facebook. You can shoot us a question there at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. We're monitoring there. So if you have anything there, we can respond to you that way also. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the next point I want to make today is about being a real man is being with him, and I think that's important. That's something we must focus on, stay focused on, and understand that being a Christian is a lot to it. It's multifaceted. But first of all, it's about our moral character. It's our way of thinking. It's about understanding the Bible and trusting and believing the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. I was in a Bible study recently, and we talked about the book of Genesis. Christianity starts in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. If you have a problem with Genesis chapter 1, then, you know, you have to start there. That's the beginning. That is all true. This is what God says, and this is God's way. Amen? It's as simple as that. Amen? So also, today we want to talk a little bit about and Adam. Adam as being the first, that the father of us all, the first man, the first created human being that God gave. And God gave Adam three things that we have in common. Again, these are the things that God gave Adam to do, and we also, as men, as husbands and fathers, are called to do the same thing, to fulfill the same purpose and the same commands that God has given Adam. The first command he gave Adam was to rule over, have dominion over the earth, over the fowl of the air. We have to take dominion over our lives, over our place in this earth. If it starts, it starts with our family first. We have dominion over. We are men created by God to have dominion. And that dominion, it starts in our families. It starts in our lifestyle, in our culture, in our communities, in our homes. We have dominion. God has given us that. And we have to take ownership of it. I think that's the problem. You know, if we look at it, when I say that, I would just consider, how does someone treat, the difference between how someone treats a hotel room, an apartment they're renting, and what they buy a home. That's when we talk about dominion. How do you treat a hotel room, which is temporary, or even if you have a mindset as a renter, you're just paying rent, so anything break, you call somebody, or being a homeowner, where you have to take ownership for it, where you're responsible for every aspect of it. That's what dominion is. Number two, God told Adam to reproduce, to be fruitful and multiply. Are we reproducing in our own kind, in our children, our wives? And for our married men, we have families. We start to build families. We start to raise our children, understanding the things of God, raise them up in righteousness, raise them up in faith. And then also in that reproduction, as men of God, as Christian men, are we evangelizing and sharing the gospel with others? Because again, God is going to use us to spread the gospel, to be able to move forward, to advance his kingdom. Are we doing that? He gave Adam Adam to reproduce, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Are we doing that? First in our families, as we're reaching our wives, we're discipling our wives, we're discipling our children in the things of God, and then we have a godly family, and even in that, are we, again, evangelizing? Are we being fruitful in our evangelism? Are we taking, dominion and initiative to tell people about Christ, share the gospel of Christ, reaching out to people? And let me say this, too, also, because this is one of the things that we have discussions in some of the men's groups. You know, there's evangelism and there's outreach. And sometimes we get it mixed together in our heads. Outreach, we can meet a need. You know, Jesus met people's needs. He reached out. He fed the hungry. He fed 5,000. He healed people. He met their needs. He healed the blind man. He healed the lame man. He delivered people from demons. But yet, he also evangelized and told them about the kingdom of God. Told folk to repent. He prayed that their soul would be saved, that today you'll be in the kingdom of God. So are we evangelizing? Because all we do, we can feed everybody, we can clothe everybody, we can feed the homeless and minister to the homeless, but are we ministering the gospel that their souls might be saved? But remember, a homeless person, you know, may only reach a homeless person. But if we come in contact with that homeless person, God has given us a greater responsibility that they may be able to reach someone. If they're converted, if God uses us to convert them, how many more could be converted? Because again, we get caught up in this temporal realm, in this earthly existence. If we remember that eternity in heaven is forever and the soul is eternal, the gospel should be our passion. And all that we do, because remember, everybody that Jesus healed, everyone that Paul healed, the men that did that, he removed demons. All those people still had died and had to stand before God. Amen. And spend eternity. So what is the condition of their souls? Because we can wash people up, get them new clothes, new shoes, new underwear, comb and get them haircuts and all that. But where will their souls be when the time comes? Amen. Number three. He gave Adam words, therefore shall a man leave his mother and his father and shall cleave unto his wife. That's family. That goes back to family with one flesh. What kind of husband are we? Are we taking responsibility to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us? To produce our children, to raise them in honor and God and faithfulness. I mean, I touched on that before, but that, okay, just taking dominion. Now, for brothers out there, wherever your stage of your marriage is, the climate of the marriage, you're responsible for. You know, okay, because every marriage is not perfect. We all have struggles and challenges. We have issues. Our wives have issues. Because remember, I tell brothers all the time, the woman you marry is not the woman she's going to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So our marriage is an ongoing, living, breathing organism. And we have to be ahead of the curve. We have to be in a place where we're ready for the growth and change and development. It's different when our wives, before we had children, our wives would be different while we're raising our children And our wives will be different after the children move out and go. Hopefully they move out and go. Amen. I call that being back to Eden. We're going back to Eden as soon as our children establish themselves. And it's just the two of you. Because you have to, that's also going to be a dangerous area for some. You know, because I know of couples and the testimony of those who struggled after 25 years, people are getting divorced, which I could never understand. But, hey, that's what it is sometimes. They struggle because they haven't paid attention and sowed into their marriages. So are you sowing into your marriage? Amen? Amen. So let me go to also now I want to touch on something too. You know, in Genesis, it talks about God has made man to be and gave him dominion and the rule and to love his wife and to rear his children. I mean, you know, it's a lot. We can't live our lives and under emotional and have because we as men shouldn't be as emotional as women when it comes to making decisions and leading in our homes. You know, because if our minds, if our emotions and our minds and our will are not under control of the Holy Spirit, we'll regularly fail, and we won't fulfill the purpose in God to be the husbands that we were called to be. And I think it's important that we have to learn to submit ourselves as Christian brothers unto the Holy Spirit, submit ourselves unto the Word, and you can't be selfish. Husband and father and selfishness can never be in the same sentence. So we have to figure out and choose. And again, this is why it's important for the body of Christ. It's important for us to be in fellowship with other men. Because in the Titus, you know, in Titus, it talks about older men mentoring and discipling the younger men, showing them how to be and raising them up in a way and knowing who God is. So that's I think that's very important. And for the brothers out there listening, you know, who are you discipling? Who are you reaching out to? Who are you being a friend to? You know, again, in the body of Christ, we should be in its fellowship. You know, we use fellowship as a word. We use fellowship as a meal. We use fellowship. Fellowship is about our lives are intertwined. Our lives are connected. Our lives, we come together to help each other in this Christian walk. And we can do more together than we can do separately. So are you connected with someone? Are you connected with your church family? You know, I say this a lot. If Sunday Bible study or Sunday service, look around and understand how many of the people are you connected with and how long has it been? When was the last time you reached out and connected and made a new friend? In the last 5 years or the last 3 years? I know it's fine to have people we've been around 15 years, 40 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, that's good too. But in the last 3 years, have you really connected in the last year? Who have you witnessed to a stranger and befriended them? Have you befriended a guest at your ministry? You know, people come in and out of our threshold, and some of us have been in those churches for years, and we sit in the same seat in the same place every day, every Sunday, every Bible study or whatever. But have we ever greeted a guest, physically went, touched, hugged, shook their hand, smiled, looked them in their eye, asked them their name? These are the things. This is the kind of church we need to be. We need to start to be. And now, and then I bring it back to for all my leaders out there, elders, deacons, and pastors. Evangelism. Are your people on purpose reaching out into communities and evangelizing, no matter what it looks like, all the way from the tract to knocking on doors to, you know, giving away Bibles, whatever it is, are we spreading the word of God? And I think that's important. It's one of the things we called as men. And brothers, let me say this. You know, these are the things where men need to lead. I don't know the way to say it. But women shouldn't be leading every auxiliary ministry in the church. There should be men there who are stepping in, stepping up. And I don't mean the brothers who have been ordained, because that's one thing. But even you as a lay leader, rank and file member, whatever. There's opportunity for everybody. If you teach a Bible study, if you teach a children's church, a youth Bible study, something needs to be done in the ministry where you have to be and be able to stand and deliver a word to encourage someone. It could be prayer, intercessory prayer. I mean, I'm not going to go back and think about intercessory prayer and it's all women. Why is that? Why the intercessors always seem to be female? This is the thing we have to look at ourselves and judge who we are and what does it take to be a man of God. So, again, I just want to encourage you. I just want to speak into your life, encourage some brothers. You know, some of us just don't know. They don't hear that. They're not, you know, because, you know, sometimes we try, again, this is the other thing about men's ministry. We have to have men's ministry where we're growing and we're sanctifying brothers' lives, not just having breakfasts and patting each other on the back and hearing testimonies. What are we doing to grow and encourage together? What are we doing to serve together in our men's ministries? I just think we need to pray and begin to do these things. Again, if the men, put it this way, if the men's ministry that we, that a lot of us do now in New Testament church, if they did that in the first century church, and if Israel did that with their men, they, Israel would have lost a lot of battles, and the first century church, they'd be gone right now. If those men, those 12, those 120 in upper room, if they were anything like us, where would the church be? So what is, where is the church, where are the men of the church coming from for this next generation? You know, and I just, again, these are the things we have to think out as here and now, as husbands and fathers and grandfathers and men of God who are in the church, are part of the church and faithful. We have to start making the word of God active, starting the word of God, have hands and feet. And we have to encourage each other along the way. Amen? Because again, you know, anybody that's not moving, that has a bad foot, a bad hand, or a headache, we all know what it's like. If one part of our body is not working right, our whole body can tell. Our body makes adjustments. It's just because it makes adjustments, but you're not limping because your hip is bad. Your hip is still bad, but how long are you going to compensate for the hip or just put up with it or get it fixed? And I think that's what it is when we talk about men in the body of Christ who are moving faithfully and not just in their comfort zone. But that's just a man thing to me. Amen? Amen. So in the midst of it all, I just want to encourage you. We have to start to be able to submit ourselves unto the Holy Spirit because we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect here on earth. But we can be faithful. We can be obedient. And I think that's the definition of a real man. Our faithfulness and our obedience. And that goes back to, again, I want to take it back to our married brothers out there, our wives. So our wives, can our wives and do our wives trust us and respect us? And are you setting the conditions and the standards in your home? You know, being said that we're the head of the household and we're the leaders and we're the heads and the priests and we're the priest and provider of our homes, that all sounds good on black and white and on paper, but how are we living that thing out? And then in the midst of that, how are we showing young couples and young husbands and young fathers to endure some things and not give up and press in? Now, I'll say this, you know, they may or may not hear you, but we have to be in season, out of season when it comes to young couples. I mean, whatever it is, you know, we all have relationships and connected with young people and young marriages. But even in the church atmosphere, marriage ministries, are the couples, you know, do we do things to encourage marriage constantly or on a regular? I won't say constantly, but on a regular, even in the midst. Because confession, again, you know, coming to Christ, it's a lot. And a lot of people who are not raised in the church don't know how to apply the word of God. And that's what we're called to do as a church body, to encourage each other on it. So we're encouraging marriages. Are we doing those things? Are we mentoring? Do we have couples who are mentoring? Do we have couples who speak about marriage? Do we see marriage as a positive light? And do we understand one of the big things that I don't really need to say that I would have the answer. If anybody who called in has one or a comment they want to share, I encourage you to press one on your keypad. But we all know, we all been in churches where we know the wife and the kids come and the husband does not come. And what are we doing about that? How are we reaching? What strategies? There's a lot of things we can do, but are we doing anything? And are we even considered about it? And this goes back to the pastors and leaders. Are we reaching out? Are we doing things to reach out to these brothers to be able to at least meet them and know their names and they know us? Again, this is where the difference between outreach, ministry, and evangelism. Are we reaching to reach husbands who don't come to your church or are not members of your church? Do they hear from anybody? Do they hear from any of the men in your church? Is there phone calls? Is there something? Somehow to reach them. Because, again, you never know a woman who comes to church alone. You don't necessarily know what she goes home to. you may assume it because whatever, but then we may be assuming wrong. Because, again, a house that's divided, Satan already has his foot. He has a foothold in that home. Because, again, ask yourself this. Because, again, your marriage is great and wonderful. But how much time would you be concerned where your wife is going and spending time at and being in indoctrinated and mentored by someone you don't even know what she's hearing? You don't even know what she's hearing. That's what I always tell brothers who don't come with their spouses or wonder why. I couldn't imagine it. I mean, I was there, and that's one of the things that motivated me because, you know, to understand what is your wife learning? Is she not your wife? And God's going to hold you accountable for her? This is how wives get caught up in ministries that are out, that are crazy, teaching crazy doctrine and false prophets, because their husband is not covering them. Amen? So these are the things we talk about as a real man and what we need to do. It's about our families, it's about our wives, our children, and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So, brothers, I just want to encourage you. Again, this is an Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. If you called in at 646-668-2636, brothers, if you have anything you want to share or have a wisdom or a question, just press one on your keypad. For the brothers, those of you online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening online, and you're up on Facebook, you can shoot us a question there on the Facebook page. We're monitoring that. But, again, I encourage you. First of all, and before we go tonight, I do want to give a shout-out to Church of the Redeeming of the Lord's Empowerment Men's Weekend. We went out Friday night. I was there Saturday. Saturday with the bowling. And I just want to give a shout-out to Brother Hall, Dr. Hall, and his labor there with the men and his men's group. And they're coming up with some changes there. I encourage you to reach out there. The men's group is moving. I believe it's going to be moving to Wednesdays. So we'll also have that posted on the Issues Christian Men's Facebook page. That men's group will start mentioning. I believe they're going to start the study of the book of Kingdom Man by Dr. Tony Evans. So I encourage you there. Also, if you have any other men's events coming up, men's breakfasts, men's Bible studies, I encourage you. Let us know on Issues. Again, on the Facebook page, we'll post it there. Also, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And as always, you can call into the show at call into Issues Christian Men's Talk every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Amen? So in closing, I just want to encourage your brothers out there, encourage you to keep on pressing. And remember, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And never, never give up, no matter what's going on with you right now. Financially, emotionally, your wife, your children may be going through something. Your wife, you and your wife may be going through something, or it all may be well. Even pray in the good times. So when the storms come, you got something, you're prayed up, and you have the strength to be able to endure them. And if you're going through finances, whatever it takes to get to work that thing out, struggle, we've all been there. We all come up short sometimes. But the whole trick is not to never give up. Look for solutions. Pray. And you see who God will put in your life. Look around those that are in your life and seek wisdom and seek wise counsel. Brothers, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. God, we say thank you right now. Thank you for all those who called in. I thank you those who listened. And I thank you, God, for you able to use me to speak a word. Hopefully someone's life can be changed or encouraged to make a change. I thank you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.